I also think that you're measured by how you respond in a leadership position. And so I always don't want to take the information and do nothing with it. And
welcome to season two of Schoolin' Around, a podcast hosted by Branchy Minds, featuring prominent leaders, subject matter experts, and thought innovators with their perspectives on the current challenges facing K-12 education. I'm your host, Larissa Napolitan, a former teacher, instructional coach, and a member of the Branchy Minds team, here to lead conversations with educational leaders and experts, and to shine a light on phenomenal educators and those that are on a mission to transform our schools and the lives of students. Maybe you've been listening for a while, or this is your first episode. If you like what you hear, would you do us a favor by rating and reviewing us on iTunes? This is a fantastic way to tell us you enjoy what we are creating. Also, if you want more MTSS resources, sign up for our weekly newsletter using the link in the show notes. A hot topic that is continually in my newsfeed and social media is about teacher retention and toxic school cultures. And I think every leader out there, school leader, wants to know, how do we build a school culture where people want to work? And so I'm so excited today to have Melissa Harvey, a middle school principal in Texas, who's here to talk about a different kind of strategy she's using to kind of combat that. So Melissa, welcome. Glad to have you.
Thank you for having me.
Well, we came across just an article that you wrote about this topic, and I want to just dive into some of the topic and the question a little bit. But given that teacher satisfaction and retention are on the top of people's minds, leaders' minds, what is this practice that you've established as a principal to address teacher retention in your building specifically?
Sure. So what we are doing here is stay interviews, and stay interviews aren't new. Corporations have done it for a really long time. What it is it's taking high performing employees and asking them why they stay. Our experts that are in the field, why they stay here, why they choose our middle school, and kind of like why they stick around. Why are you still here? What do you love about us? And also not only high performing ones, but we've also started using them with new employees. So research says that if you check in on new employees at the 30, 60, and 90 day mark, they'll stay. And so the 90 day check-in is also a stay interview. And it asks about 10 questions, one being, what can I change as your leader in myself? Which is a hard question to ask. But those are the kind of things we ask them. And so we can kind of take their input and change what we can and take data on what we can't.
I love that. And I think that something that was striking when I was reading the article that I came across was that this is your words that you wrote this. And it really resonated with me as a former educator that you said, I believe that being an effective, inspiring leader for my teachers means staying in touch with what it's like for them to work in our building and striving to make our school a place they'll never want to leave. And I am just curious. So like, if that is sort of your mindset going into these kind of state interviews, how has that impacted your culture and your school as a whole?
So the biggest thing is teaching is not what it used to be even 3 years ago. And so I like to know what they feel even for the past year, how things are different, even in Texas, even to our area, whether it's conservative or just even the neighborhood, whether we have a new subdivision popping up and they're on top of each other, or there's a new set of kids that are just a different type of learner based on grade level. And so they love that I listen to them, that I hear them. And it takes a lot because it's a whole day or two of active listening. And so what will happen, it's so funny, I put it out on like a newsletter, and sometimes it's the busy time of year and they will have forgotten or delayed in answering. And the moment I have my first interview that day, it goes out like wildfire, and I'll get like 16 emails that say, I forgot to sign up. I forgot to sign up. Can you have another day of this? And so they know that I'm going to listen to them and that I care about what they think and that what they think matters. And so that alone, whether I can change it or not, is so important to them.
Do you have like a, maybe a specific example of something that you sort of like a theme that you heard through a bunch of state interviews and like maybe what you did in response to that?
Sure. So some things are little and amazing and some things are big and transformational. So like an example would be my PE teacher said, how come our staff meetings aren't walking staff meetings? And so like on a beautiful day, we will walk the neighborhood. And what's great about that is parents see us, students see us, and we're getting our steps for like our mindfulness. That was an easy one. A big one is reading novels in the classroom, like a whole read. Our English teachers really, really are opinionated. Imagine that.
Oh, I was an English teacher. I almost know what you're going to say, but continue.
Yes. And so I am not over English curriculum. We have a curriculum coordinator for that. But I was able to take data, and they are incredibly smart on the importance of reading comprehension and how students choose self-selected novels to provide to the coordinator to change our curriculum moving forward. And so that was nothing that the curriculum coordinator had to come to, but I was able to provide data to change that. Another example would be like, I have a teacher that never needs anything. He solves all his problems. Like he's a problem solver. He's the best teacher I have, but he signed up for a time just to tell me what was going on in his life and for me to watch out for his student that goes to school here. And he never wanted to bother me with any time because he's just a great human. And with that, like now I can look at him in the hallway and like, we just know we're connected without even having a moment together. It's just like, we are all connected for the time that we just had together. That was short and meaningful.
That almost like, it brings me to tears a little bit to like, and maybe it's just my own, because of my own experiences of like having a leader that really is attuned to maybe what's going either on our, in our own lives as teachers, because we're human beings. We carry so much into the classroom and, you know, and working with little humans, like we're doing so much emotional labor sometimes that comes with that, that having someone that's just there to support and listen and actively working to solve big or small things is really powerful. So I thank you for sharing that.
Hi friends, I am interrupting this conversation to share another MTSS hero shout out with you. These are those educators that go above and beyond and deserve celebration for their hard work in their school. Today, I want to celebrate Joyce from Beaumont ISD in Texas. Joyce is the dyslexia interventionist and MTSS campus facilitator for her school, and her colleague Emma says this about her. I very much admire Miss Joyce. She is a seasoned educator and has seen all kinds of educational programs come and go. However, she has not become jaded or resistant to growth at all. She jumped right into her new role, and every day she gives her best to her students on her campus while also supporting every teacher and administrator as well. We want to celebrate you, Joyce, and thank you for your hard work. Now back to our conversation.
Is there anything that you sort of have felt like this at any point, like it helped really mitigate someone who was maybe thinking about stepping out of the classroom or leaving, or if they were on the fence? Do you feel like you had a conversation that really turned the tables for them?
So I think that people's perception is their reality. And sometimes I'm able to sway their perception on the facts are often different than their perception. And so, for example, decision-making, they often think I am the end all. When I'm not, it's often a bigger picture situation. And I'm able to give them those little pieces of information that they never even asked for. And so, yes, I think they're like, wow, I didn't even imagine these other things that went into that decision. And for example, like as easy as I want my own room and there's not another room in the building, but it never occurred to them because they never looked at the master schedule with me. Or, you know, we have 1200 kids here and they're like, I don't understand why I have to teach two preps. And I'm like, okay, come do the master schedule with me. And I never wanted to impact their time because I want them to go home with their families. But then the moment I showed it to them, they're like, of course I'll take it. I'll take another prep. And so once I was able to show them transparency in these meetings, they were like, I'm all in.
I think that is
it can be so powerful to kind of show the big picture. Because you're right, the perception is like when you're living day to day in sort of one reality, you may not be able to see all the other pieces. And as a leader, you kind of have to see the big picture, but you also want them, they also need to stay in where they're at too, in the sense of like doing their part because they're all part of the puzzle. And so I think that there is that work of when there is an issue of like, hey, actually, let me give you a peek of the big picture here. So you understand why we do what we do, or even, you know, just get a picture of what's going on behind the scenes that impacts them in one way, but understand like, you know, I can't get my own room because there's not another room to go to, you know? Yeah. And I think that's so hard because I've been, as an instructional coach, I sat kind of between the administrator and the teachers. And so I did some of that work to communicate, yes, like, here's why they made the decision. I have no control over it, but let me give you behind the scenes.
And you were the translator.
The translator. And I think that's such a necessary thing for some teachers, because you can get so wrapped up in what's happening in your classroom and just so in it that you forget all of the other things that are happening. There's so many things. I mean, I'm sure you know, there's so many things that happen in a typical school day.
Yeah. So one way that I was wrapped in it, and I had no idea. So our eighth grade teachers were never getting Teacher of the Week nominated by students. Okay. And it didn't even occur to me. So an eighth grade teacher said, eighth grade teachers never get Teacher of the Week. And I was like, what? And so I go back to look at the data and they don't. So I go find random groups of eighth graders. And I'm like, why are y'all not voting on your teacher? And they're like, we're just kind of too cool for that. Like the so it was so funny. They just thought that's what sixth graders do. So then we required eighth grade students to vote. And then they started getting Teacher of the Week. And so it was like something that I didn't even focus on. And so they also opened my eyes to things that I had not encountered, that I had not realized.
Well, and like you said, like, staying in touch with their reality is really important. And the reason that that quote really struck me was because so many times you hear a teacher say, if they only knew what we were like dealing with, they don't even understand how, you know, whether it be behavior or dealing with parents, you know, thinking about all the minute decisions that a teacher makes in a day, even just as silly as like how many times a teacher gets interrupted by a phone call or by like a call in into the classroom or by someone pulling a student out. There have been days where I'm like, if the phone rings one more time, it's going to drive me crazy. So like, I think that teachers feel all of those little things in a day. And so I think it's really important for leaders to stay. And I wish more leaders did that. I was actually just telling a colleague this morning that, man, I think it should just be a requirement for every district office or leader to spend a day in the classroom at least once a semester and vary your different age groups. Because like, if you're not in touch with the reality of what teachers are experiencing on a day to day, you may not understand the trickle down of your decisions.
Absolutely. You are so right. Sometimes I get put into a very hard classroom and I'm like, I will not leave this classroom and I will manage it because that's my responsibility.
I appreciate that. Well, Melissa, I love hearing about what you're doing to help build the culture in your school. And I hope that this is contagious. And I love that we are having you on here to talk about it, because I'm like, I want to tell every principal I know, like, you should do this. So is there any challenge that you had in conducting these stay interviews? I just want to kind of like talk a little bit about what may be the blocker that some leaders might feel.
So I have a staff, if we include like everyone, of 80 people, and you need about 30 minutes if it's efficient. And so that's really, really hard. Of course, it's optional. So I always have two full days, and there's not a leader that I know that has two full days, but the outcome is so worth it. It's also, every great leader I know is very, it's very personal. When people tell you there's problems, it's very hard to hear them, especially when you didn't know they existed, or maybe you're the problem. That it's hard to hear. It's hard to fix. A lot of times I go through a pattern of hurt and then mad and then ready to take it on. And so, because I just think I pour my heart and soul into the job, and then I'm like, why didn't they see that? But then I know that I have to I have to face it head on. And I also think that you're measured by how you respond in a leadership position. And so I always don't want to take the information and do nothing with it. And so I have to respond to the information I was given. And so I think if you're going to do them and you do nothing with it, you're measured by that. And so there's no option to just take the information. And so those are the three things that are almost impossible. Like, if you do them, it's time-based, it is personal, and that a response is required.
Mm, yeah. And I think I could see that some leaders may find that very scary, like very anxiety inducing of like, I'm going to ask them what they really think. And I do think it's different when you're sitting face to face, because I think sometimes anonymous surveys, like people, one, I think teachers go, it's not really anonymous. And then two, they may not really take the time to fill it out. But if you're taking the time to sit in front of them and you set the precedence, and because I'm sure that over time, the more you do them, the more honest people are, because they've, oh, she does something with this information. I should be honest. I should tell her what she thinks. She's not going to use it against me, or, you know, that kind of thing. I think that probably the more you do it, the more honest people are.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah.
And you know, like, these people are experts. I mean, these are 20-year teaching veterans that when I go in their class, they command the classroom, that know their standards. And I'm looking at them and I'm saying, how can I be a better leader? And all I want is acceptance and that you've led me in the right direction. And I'm asking them, what can I change? And they tell me. And so, well, you're right. It's just hard to take, but if I do change it, then I'm just up in the expectation, which is what I want to do.
Yeah. Well, and it probably takes a very emotionally healthy person to be able to absorb some of that. And so that's like the reason, like I always kind of say this, that leaders have to do that work to be that non-anxious presence, to be the person who can take all the information in and lead in a way that is, you know, responsive, not reactive, and really trying to help build a positive culture. So Melissa, thank you for your time today.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been very easy and very enjoyable. Thank you.
You're welcome. And I just appreciate your candor and just your willingness to share a little bit about your staff and just the work that you do. If no one's told you today, thank you for being a great leader.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Schoolin' Around, a podcast hosted by Branching Minds. Go ahead and subscribe to our feed wherever you listen to podcasts. And don't forget, if you are enjoying our content, would you do us a favor and rate and review our podcasts on iTunes? This helps others find our podcasts and lets us know how much you love what we're creating. Branching Minds is an educational technology company using learning sciences and technology to help districts effectively personalize learning through MTSS. To learn more about us, check out our website, branchingminds.com, or follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or LinkedIn @branchingminds.